أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page number 79, which is the third page in Surah An-Nisa in the fourth juz. In the previous episode, we mentioned a number of issues regarding and relating to the issue of inheritance. And as we said, this was one of those points or one of those issues and subject matters which in the time of Arabia or the Arabs of Jahiliyyah before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be very frank, even after that time, even until our time today, it is an issue even amongst Muslims that is still an issue and a great cause of oppression and injustice. And that is because many people don't study and understand how inheritance works under Islamic law. And unfortunately, there are some people who don't really care about how it works. They will simply want that wealth by hook or by crook. So we mentioned in the last episode that Allah Azza wa Jalla said that everyone has their fair share and right to inheritance, whether you are male or female. If you are from amongst those relatives, those close relatives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined has the right to inheritance, then that right belongs to you. And we said that those rights of inheritance doesn't necessarily mean that you will inherit, because that is also dependent upon who else is living or not at that time. So usually the people that are closest to the deceased, which are their parents, spouse and children, will always inherit. And as for everyone else who may inherit, such as siblings, grandparents, grandchildren, paternal uncles and so on, those people may inherit depending upon who else is living or who is not. In the previous episode, we mentioned the verse number 11, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spoke to us and told us concerning some of those fixtures that we have. The way that inheritance works is that we have a group of close relatives that have a fixture. These people are called Ashabul Furud. Those people who have fixtures are the ones that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions and that we spoke about in verse number 11, and the first verse that we will speak about today, verse number 12. Such as, for example, the mother, the daughters, the maternal brothers, the husband, the wife. These people have fixtures in Islam. Whatever is left after they have taken their fixtures is given to the second group of people who are normally the male close relatives, and these people are called asaba. So the people who are taking the fixtures are usually female relatives, with a couple of exceptions like the husband and sometimes the father. And the people who take what remains are the asaba, and usually are the male relatives. So for example, sons and brothers and uncles, like full brothers or brothers that are paternal brothers and uncles and so on. These are the people that are taking whatever remains. Sometimes what remains is more, and sometimes what remains is less, and sometimes what remains is nothing. And so those people just take whatever remains, and that is because the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, alhiqul fara'id bi ahliha fama baqiya fahuwa li awla rajulin dhakar. Give to the fixed share people their shares, and whatever remains, then it goes to the closest male relative. And so therefore we have that division of these two categories of relatives: the people who have fixed shares, who are usually speaking the male, female relatives, and then the male relatives, and whoever gets, you know, they get whatever essentially remains from that. So sometimes it is more. So for example, in the case of the son, he's a male relative, he takes whatever is remaining. And if there are daughters, he will take more than the daughters, because as we said, he gets double their portion. However, if it's only a daughter, one daughter, she gets half. Two or more daughters, they get two-thirds, and so on and so forth. So here in verse number 12, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue upon this issue, or continue with this issue of inheritance. And again, it is something which we have to understand. And as we said in the previous episode, the best and easiest way is to go and to simply go to a Muslim imam, your local scholar, imam and so on, and ask them how to do this. A common mistake that is made, unfortunately, within our communities is that we don't do the due diligence on these issues until after the death takes place. And then there is a great deal of raw emotion, of people being very upset, obviously, at the passing of their loved one, and what people's expectations are, rightly or wrongly, because that's what they thought would happen. And then all of a sudden they're told, no, actually this is what the Sharia says. Also, at the same time, we have to acknowledge as Muslims living in the West that the UK law, for example, or the law of the US, or whichever country you're living in, may not necessarily be the same as Islamic law. So therefore, a person may go and dispute that issue if you don't have this stuff written down as your own will and so on. So the person, when they pass away, should write a will, or before they pass away rather, should always have their will ready. And within it, they should mention issues like, for example, the issues concerning their burial and their funeral arrangements. They should mention any debts that they have therein, because that is extremely important. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person, after they pass away, will be in suspense until their debts have been paid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a janazah was brought out and he learned that that person had debts upon them, he wouldn't lead their janazah, and he would tell the companions to pray over them instead. And that's because that person is in suspense. Why are they in suspense? Because they've taken the rights of others by borrowing their money, and they have yet to fulfill that right. So those debts have to be recorded, have to be written down and known, so that those people can be given their rights back. Otherwise, that person who has passed away, it continues to be upon them. Number three, any bequests that they have. So they want to give some of their wealth for charity, as we mentioned in the last episode. They want to give some of it away in charity. They want to help certain people, certain organizations, certain causes, and so on. Especially for those of us that are living in the West, where we don't necessarily have government support for our institutions, for our masjids, and so on and so forth. It may be that someone may want to give some of that wealth to their local masjid, to a Muslim school, to, for example, the orphans that are living within the community, or the widows, and so on and so forth. They want to do some good, and that is something which is permissible. And then they write down the shares that they have. I know that I have these children, and I have my wife, and I have my parents, and my siblings. These are the people that are living, and these are the shares that they will have, and this is how it will be distributed after I have sought, obviously, advice from someone who is qualified. And that may require every so often updating as people are born and people pass away and circumstances change. And so that is from good practice that a person should do that, so that they don't leave their affairs in a mess. That once they pass away, their family members now have to come and they have to fight and they have to battle and they have to argue and debate. And sometimes those issues go to court. And if they don't go to court, then it leads to whole families breaking up. So that person who's now passed away and left behind wealth as inheritance, rather than that being a mercy, as it should be, because people are benefiting from their legacy, benefiting from the wealth and the efforts that they made in this life to help their family members after they've passed away, it now becomes a source of tension and a source of breakup in the family, because that wealth that they left behind is being something which everyone's fighting over. And also because, unfortunately, now we live in, unfortunately, in the case of many of us, we are very materialistic, and we're very wealth-centered. And so therefore, when we know that, for example, I may or I could receive £10,000 from this person, I will fight over that money. And if it means that I have to trample over my own parents, my own siblings, my own children, I will do so, because that's something which I want. One of the other things to remember, as we mentioned in the previous episode, and again I want to stress upon this, because these tafsir classes are not fiqh lessons. So we're not going through all of the laws of inheritance and so on. That would make this discussion extremely long, and it would make it detailed. And this is meant to be a general, inshallah ta'ala, accessible tafsir for everyone. But there are a few points that are important to mention that I just want to highlight, because for many of us, we don't really study these issues, we don't look into them, and until the issue arises, because it is the reality now that we have to face, most of us don't really do any preemptive research or seeking knowledge about these issues. One of the other things that we mentioned in the previous episode, and that it is important to remember again, is the issue of mutual consent. If all of the heirs agree upon something, then it is permissible, generally speaking, so long as obviously they're not breaking a law from the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, as we said in the previous episode, a person can give up to a third of their wealth in charity. They can bequeath it as a sadaqah for someone, as long as that someone isn't an heir. So I can't bequeath it to my son, because my son inherits. I can't bequeath it to my wife, because she inherits. I can't bequeath it to my daughter, because they inherit. However, I have a distant relative who doesn't inherit, they're not from my immediate family, and they're poor and they're needy, and I wish to give them, for example, a fifth of my estate to help them and their affairs and so on. That is permissible. However, if I want to give it to one of those people who do inherit, so for example, one of my daughters is struggling, I want to give to her a third of my estate over and above what she will receive anyway of her inheritance. And I gather my family members together, all of those people that would inherit from me, and I sit them down and I say, look, this is your sister or your daughter or whoever she is in terms of her relationship to you. My daughter, she's like your sister to my other children and so on. I say, this is our family member. She's struggling. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with wealth. The rest of you are fine. You're comfortable. But she's struggling. She's having a hard time. She needs extra help. She needs extra support. So if this is what I plan to do, what do you think? As long as they willingly agree. Because sometimes people are manipulated into that situation or forced. That isn't something which should be done. They're given free consent to say no. I don't agree. And if they say no, then so be it. But if they all agree happily and they say yes, we're willing to help them and so on. And this is often the case in families where these discussions happen beforehand and people are mature and sensible. People will often do this. They know that, for example, this person needs more. They need some extra support. They need some extra help. And so therefore we will give them that extra help, and they have that reward, inshallah ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mutual consent is something which then allows people to agree on something which otherwise normally wouldn't be allowed. And likewise, for example, up to a third you can give, but if they agree all together mutually that we will give a half, that's fine. As long as they agree mutually and it is given their full and free and open consent. Otherwise, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there to be established, as we said in the previous episode, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Allah has established these laws for you, because otherwise you wouldn't know who has more right over you than others. Who has more rights over you than others? So some people, for example, maybe wouldn't give to their parents anything because they'd be like, oh, they're old. They don't really need my help. I want to give it all to my children. But Allah Azza wa Jalla said, no, they have a right because of their status, because of what they did for you, because of their service towards you. And when people get old, it doesn't mean that they don't need money. Sometimes they need more support because they have less ability to go out and earn and to help themselves and to be financially independent and so on. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from His hikmah and from His wisdom that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to all of these people their shares. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them different shares depending on their circumstances. So sometimes the daughter may receive half. And sometimes, as we said, when she's with her brother, she may receive less. And so this is dependent upon each person and their shares. They may differ as well concerning or dependent upon the situation that they find themselves in. So in verse number 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with the fixed shares of other people that we have yet to mention so far. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ فَلَكُمُ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِينَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ تُوصُونَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً أَوْ امْرَأَةٌ وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ فَإِنْ كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُثِ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصَى بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ غَيْرَ مُضَارٍّ وَصِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you inherit half of what your wives leave if they have no children. And if they have children, you inherit a quarter. In all cases, the distribution comes after payment of any bequests or debts. And if you have no children, your wife's share is a quarter. And if you have children, your wives get an eighth. In all cases, the distribution comes after payment of any bequests or debts. If a man or woman dies leaving no children or parents, but a single brother or sister, he or she should take one-sixth of the inheritance. If there are more siblings, they share one-third between them. In all cases, the distribution comes after payment of any bequests or debts, with no harm done to anyone. This is the commandment from Allah. And indeed, Allah is all-knowing, and He is all-forbearing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla therefore begins this verse number 12, with the fixed shares of the spouses, the husband and the wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the husband, you have half of what your wives leave, so long as there are no children in the equation. Your wife had no children. If she has a child, either from that husband or a previous husband, then this existing husband now, the one that she is currently married to, he gets a quarter. So if there's no children, half. And if there are children, quarter. But again, as Allah Azza wa Jalla repeated, as we mentioned in the last verse, verse number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, once all debts and once all bequests have been fulfilled. So therefore, the shares of inheritance or the distribution of the estate in terms of inheritance is the last thing that is done once all of these other rights have been fulfilled. As we said, for example, the rights of the funeral burial, right? The funeral arrangements. That's the first right that's taken out. The right of debts, the right of the bequests up to a third. All of these are fulfilled first and foremost. Once they have been done, that is when these shares then come, and that is when they are given. And that's why, as we said last week, if a person doesn't have a great deal of wealth, it is not a good thing or a good practice for them to give some of that wealth away in charity, because they have very little. And as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the famous companion Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu an, he said, it is better for you to leave your heirs, your children, wealthy, than to leave them poor, that they still have to go and ask from other people. So someone only has a small amount, give it to your family, rather than giving some of it in charity, and then they have very little, and they still need other people's support and other people's financial help. So those are the fixtures of the husband. When it comes to the wife, if the husband had no children, so the wife is now the survivor, the husband passed away. If the husband has no children, she gets a quarter. And if he had children, whether from her or from any other wife, then she receives an eighth. And this is irrespective of whether there is one wife that is currently married to or more than one. They would share that particular, or they would take the portion of that particular share. So it still stays to a quarter or an eighth. And again, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, in all cases, the distribution comes after the payment of any bequests or debts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, "When kana rajulun yurathu kalala," if a person is going to inherit as kalala. And this will be mentioned in the final verse of Surah An-Nisa as well. Kalala is the situation where a person passes away and they have neither ascendants living nor descendants. No parents or grandparents living, no children or grandchildren living. So therefore the next closest people to them are their siblings. After obviously they may have had wives and so on, but their next closest ones are their siblings. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ, and they have a single brother or they have a single sister, then that person will receive, or that brother will receive, that man will receive a sixth of the inheritance. And if there is more than one, they receive a third. This is referring to maternal brothers. What is a maternal brother? The maternal brother is the one that you and him share the same mother, but you have different fathers. That is called a maternal brother or maternal sister. A paternal brother or sister is where you share the same father with them, but you have different mothers. And a full brother or sister is that you share both the same father and the same sister. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla, when he speaks about the share, one of them gets a sixth, or more than one, if there's two or more, they get a share of the third. This is referring to maternal brothers. And that is, even though it is not stipulated or mentioned explicitly in the verse, it is by ijma' of the scholars of Islam, that Allah Azza wa Jalla in this particular verse is referring to the maternal brothers. So usually speaking, the inheritance, as we said, is always done through the male line. It is always done through the male line. And so everyone that inherits from you are your male relatives, meaning from your father's line, or from your own line through your male descendants. So your son and daughter will inherit. But when it comes to grandchildren, it is only the grandchildren from your sons, not from your daughters. Because your daughter's children will inherit from their father's side, and so on and so forth. One of the few that do inherit from the maternal side, though, is maternal brothers. And that is because they are siblings. They are siblings. However, they are siblings too through your mother as opposed to through your father. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla says that in this case, if there is one of them, they will receive a sixth. If there is more than one, two or more, they receive their share of a third. And again, that is after the payment of any bequests or debts. And Allah Azza wa Jalla repeats this now four times in verses 11 and 12. Four times this issue has been repeated. And that is to stress the importance of these issues. the issue of debt, as we said, because of the rights that people have to their wealth that they borrowed to the individual that has now passed away, and bequest, because this is what the person who has now passed away, the deceased, wanted to do with their wealth, and they wanted to give some of it in a cause that is good, or that it is inshallah ta'ala charitable and will help them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says this is the commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed Allah is all knowing and Allah Azza wa Jalla is all forbearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 13, he then says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. These are the bounds set by Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah will admit those who obey Him and His Messenger to gardens graced with flowing streams, and there they will stay. That is indeed the supreme triumph. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are the laws of Allah that Allah has set in terms of inheritance. And so therefore, and obviously there are, as we said, a lot more discussion that needs to be had, a great number of other details that need to be mentioned and studied before someone truly understands inheritance. For us, we just wanted people to understand the general scope of inheritance and the general way that it works. Clearly, the details are studied in the books of fiqh, and practically speaking, when a person comes to determining their own issues of inheritance, they need to seek advice from someone who is qualified. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says here that these are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it is not permissible for a person to come and change those laws by saying that I want to give all of my wealth to one person, or I'm going to give it to this person as a greater share than what they receive in the Quran and the Sunnah and so on, because that is a form of oppression. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. If you obey Allah and obey His Messenger, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you rewards, whether it's in this issue or another issue. The laws that Allah has set down, the laws that Allah has established and that Allah Azza wa Jalla has set, those have to be obeyed, whether I like it or I don't like it, whether it's something which works for me or it doesn't work for me. Those are the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. And so sometimes people find this difficult, because sometimes, unfortunately, in families, there is animosity and rancor and ill feeling, sometimes between very close relations, between parents and their children, between siblings and so on. And so therefore, sometimes people find it difficult. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that these are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the laws that therefore you should abide by. And so therefore it is the practice of the Muslim to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And by doing so, even if it is something which you don't necessarily find easy to do, Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the great reward of Jannah, and that is the true triumph. And no one should want to come on the Day of Judgment holding any oppression, having any oppression in their scale of deeds. No one wants to come and stand before Allah Azza wa Jal having oppressed others, having withheld their rights, being held to account for that type of harm that they may have done. And so therefore, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded something, you simply do as Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded, because in that way lies success, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is the supreme triumph. In the final verse in this page, verse number 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. But those who disobey Allah and His Messenger and overstep His limits will be consigned by Allah to the fire, and there they will stay. A humiliating torment awaits them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commands, therein lies success. And to disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to overstep the boundaries that Allah has set, or to ignore the laws that Allah has set, or to change the laws that Allah Azza wa Jalla has established, therein lies destruction and humiliation and punishment. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions these two points here after these verses of inheritance, because as we said, this was one of the most common ways of oppression that people used to have before the time of Islam, and unfortunately it has continued even into our time today, where in many communities, in many Muslim families, there is still an element of oppression that takes place when it comes to this issue of inheritance. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to know the truth and to follow it, that Allah Azza wa Jalla safeguards us all from oppression and from harming others, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to fulfill the rights of others and to be fair and just with all. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.